This into Luke chapter number 2. We'll be preaching from there. As you're turning, we would like to again welcome each and every one out. Welcome our visitors this morning. We are so glad that you are here with us. Some returning, which we count a double honor. After you've heard me preach one time, you come back again. That's a great blessing. Brother Jim said, amen. Amen. And it truly is. But we're thankful for you coming back, and we trust this morning that you've been made to feel welcome in God's house. And you just worship God this morning, and you'll be just at fine. You'll be right at home. That's all we're here to do, is to worship the Lord. The Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen? And that's what we want to do, is lift him up this morning. If you found Luke chapter 2, would you stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word? We're going to begin reading in verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. And it shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." When we think about Christmas, we think about these words. But sometimes we don't think about the depths of these words. Hope, peace, and joy. I get into the Lowe's here in Northeast quite a bit. And man, they got the big giant letters that are in some kind of netting with lights in them and everything else. And yeah, the one that I always see, and the one that always sticks out to me as I go into the Lowe's, I'm talking about their letters that are about this tall, is joy. And whenever you walk in and you just see joy, and so many people just walk right past that word and never even give it a second thought. And we think about joy, and we think about gladness, and we think about happiness, and we try to entail them all together. But you know, they don't necessarily interlock and intertwine with one another. Our happiness isn't going to affect our joy if our joy is in the right place. Amen. I can be at a place where death has occurred and where sorrow is in the life of those that are round about, and have perfect peace and joy in my heart, because I know that a loved one that trusted Christ as their Savior has slipped out into eternity. Amen. That's joy. Amen. Sorrow can't take that joy away. It can take my laughter. It can take my happiness, but it can't steal my joy. Amen. I'm glad that God has offered us, and God has told us that the birth of Jesus was a time of joy. Amen. There was great joy in what the angels were saying. He said, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Amen. Not just joy, but great joy. There's great joy in knowing Jesus. Amen. There's this great joy in having the satisfaction of having the peace in your heart that you have a hope of eternity in heaven with Him, because He chose to leave the glory world and to come into a low land of sin and sorrow and die on an old rugged cross for sinners like me and like you. That's joy. That's great joy, friends. That's joy like the world can't comprehend and the world will never know. The angel says, I bring you good tidings. You know what that means? He said, I bring you good news. I want you to know something this morning. There's great joy in the good tidings of the gospel message. The gospel message is a message of good news. It's a message that transforms lives. It's a message that has changed the world for all of eternity. It's a message that the forces of darkness, the forces of Satan, the forces of evil have tried to hush and quiet throughout all the ages of eternity. But it's a message that is still transforming lives in societies where it's even illegal to possess the Word of God. The gospel is still shining in the midst of darkness and changing and transforming lives, and people are still being born again and birthed into the family of God. Amen. I'm glad there's great joy in the gospel message. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Did you get that? They preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they've not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed the report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Amen. The gospel story, the good news, amen, that Christ was born, that God has come to dwell among us, God has come to be with us, God has come to die and to redeem man from the curse of sin. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the Christmas story entails. In 1222, I think it was, Francis of Assisi, he built the first manger scene that is known to have been erected and recorded, because man had failed to realize, and man had failed to grasp in the gospel message and in the Christmas story what had actually happened. When Christ had come, he had to humanize the Christ child. He had to humanize Jesus, so man that would realize that God came down to be with us. Man could get a visual understanding. That's what the manger scene is all about. It's helping us to realize that God came down and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and peace. The gospel message of joy, the gospel message of hope, the gospel message of peace is the message that has been prophesied from the very beginning. It's been prophesied, and now it has come to pass. There's great joy because the gospel message isn't only a hope, but now it's a reality. The gospel message isn't only being looked for, it's being known, it's being experienced, it's being felt, it's being seen, making changes in lives every day of the year, every country, every continent, every mankind that has heard the gospel message has heard the good news. There's great joy in that. There's great joy and great hope for humanity in the gospel message. Amen. Because it has changed me. It can change you. It's redeemed me. It can redeem you. It's helped me to see. It's helped me to know. Good tidings. Good news. Jesus came to die on an old rugged cross for a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner just like me, that believing in him, I might have eternal life. Man, it don't get no better than that. Amen. It don't get no better than that. I could go to Brother Joe and say, "Brother Joe, I got news for you. I just found out that you are going to be a millionaire. Not just a millionaire, you're going to be a multi-millionaire. You're going to be a billionaire." Brother Joe said, "Yeah, right. Yeah, sure." there's nothing to substantiate. There's nothing to back that up. There's nothing that confirms what I've told him. Joe might say, well, did the lottery people call you and tell you that I've won a bunch of money? No. Did somebody die and leave a bunch of money to me? Did you hear about that? I say, no. Did you come into a small fortune and you're going to impart part of that fortune unto me? I could say, no. Joe say, huh. Wish he'd have never said anything. Amen. Got my hopes up for a moment. And the reality is nothing has ever changed. But praise God, we've got a record that records. Amen. We've got a message that tells. We've got examples that have gone on before us that have proven that what the Word of God says is true, and what God says He can do, He will do, and what God has promised that was going to happen has happened. And we can rest assured in the gospel message that Jesus came into the world to die of sinners, for whom I'm chief, and He came to die for you. He came to give His life a ransom for you so that you don't have to go to a place called hell. And praise God, there's great joy in knowing that. There's great joy in having assurance in that. There's great joy in having confidence in that. Amen. Amen. The angel said, man, we bring you good tidings. All I got to do today is tell you, I got some good tidings for you. Glad tidings. Good news. Glad news. Happy news. Amen. News that ought to fill your heart and life with joy. If you're a child of God this morning, you ought to be shouting the house down for realizing what the Word of God has done, and the power of God has made a difference in your life. It's made a change. But look what else he says here. And the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Thank God for the gospel message, and thank God it's for all people. Why does it need to go to all people? Because all people have the same need. Amen. We all are descendants of the same mother and father. We all got the same spiritual DNA, spiritual genetic makeup, spiritual genetic background. And not only that, we all got the same physical genetics. Amen. Because we all go back to original mother and father. Am I preaching to a Baptist this morning? Now, I don't know about you, but my ancestors didn't swing from no trees. Amen. They didn't cry out of some primordial soup and come up and evolve. Amen. Mine were lovingly formed from the dust of the earth. The Bible says that God formed man. He spoke everything else into existence. But praise God, when my original grandma and my original grandpa were formed, amen, God lovingly reached down and He formed them in His own likeness and in His own image. And Sister Connie, He just didn't form them, but praise God, the Bible said He breathed into them the breath of life, and they became a living soul. And not only did they become a living soul, but praise God, they became the original ancestor to every man, woman, boy, and girl sitting in this church this morning. Amen. But because Grandma and Grandpa Adam and Eve sinned, we all have a problem. Right. Amen. Amen. The Bible's real clear. But praise God, I'm glad the good news come to all men. Amen. Amen. I'm glad it came to me when it came to Sister Connie. It came to Brother Joe. It came to Brother Jim and Sister Mary. Praise God, I'm glad it came to all of us. Amen. I'm glad it come to my son-in-law, Billy. Rubbed off of him and to his friend, Eddie. Amen. I'm glad it came to Calvin. I'm glad it came to Joyce. I'm glad it came to Brother Curtis and Sister Peggy. I'm glad one day the gospel message came to each one of us, and each one of us realized that we were all in the same condemnation. We were all guilty of sin. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a bad person. You don't have to be a bad person to be a sinner. You was born that way. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. You inherited it. Amen. I don't have to be any particular kind of a person to be a Gilbert. Amen. I was just born that way. Amen. Amen. Brother Joe, do you have to be any particular kind of a person to be Gonzalez? No, you just born that way, wasn't you?
Right.
Amen. I thought so. That happens. And that's what happens with sin. The Bible says over in Romans 6:23, says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. That down in Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. To all men, because all have sinned. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why did he have to give his only begotten Son? Because we all have sinned. Amen. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why did we need to be saved? Because we were all under the condemnation of sin. Amen. Galatians 3:22 says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Did you understand what he was saying? All under sin. For all have sinned. All under sin. We are all under the condemnation. Death has passed upon all men. And praise God, without God intervening, without God doing something, there was no hope for mankind, because all are lost. The scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Praise God for the promise that was fulfilled that night in Bethlehem when God sent his Son into the world. He was the promised seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the devil, that would bruise the head of Satan. He was the one that was promised and prophesied about. He was the one that Jacob told Judah that a scepter would not pass from him, or a rule giver, until Shiloh had come. At the appointed time, at the appointed place. But thou, Bethlehem, Judah, small among the nations, to the appointed vessel, behold, a virgin shall be with child. And she shall bring forth a child, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. The gospel message was to all men. It's to all people. It's to everyone sitting here today, that you might know, that you know, that you know, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, that you have hope. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for his own people that he came. Praise God. He came to be the Savior of the whole world. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. There's joy in knowing that God made a way for you. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight.
Amen.
Amen. No matter where you stood in need, no matter who you are, you stand in need. And the Bible says a whole lot of things. It goes on to tell us about our works. But it makes it clear that our salvation isn't about us, but it's about him. It's not through works that we have done, but that the righteousness of Christ might be fulfilled. That the righteousness of God might be shown. The righteousness of God might be known. through the Christ child that was born. You see, you can't be good enough. You can't do good enough. You don't have money enough. You can't be religious enough. Let me tell you something. If you're dependent on religion, you'll split hell wide open. Amen. I got news for you. There's going to be a bunch of Baptists in hell. Just for those who aren't aware of that. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Christ child. The one that God sent to die on an old rugged cross. He came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And oh, how that little baby has changed the world. Because God wanted whosoever. That's all men. It didn't say to whichsoever Jew. It didn't say to whichsoever Greek. Connie, aren't you glad it didn't say to whatsoever white man? I'm glad it didn't say to whatsoever black man. Amen. Amen. I'm glad it said to whosoever. Amen. Amen. To whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There's joy in knowing that the gospel message is for each and every one of us, and that each and every one of us can know the joy of having Jesus in our heart, having Jesus in our life. Adam, see what's going on outside. We can have joy, not just the joy of this world, not just joy like the world gives us, and maybe one moment you're on a joyous high and the next morning you're hitting rock bottom. But joy that the things of this life and the things of this world can't take away. He said, great joy which shall be to all people. Aren't you glad to know today that Christ came to die for you? He came to die for me. He came to die for the Muslim. He came to die for the Asian. He came to die for all people. And as many received him, to as many as received him, gave he power unto them to become the sons of God. What a joyous message to all people. But look at what he said, and look what the angel said here in verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. There's great joy in knowing there's a Savior. Amen. If there are sinners and there's a salvation plan, there has to be a Savior. Amen. And I'm glad that His name is Jesus. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Some doubt and some question and some wonder if the gospel message that we preach and the gospel that we teach is really true. On the authority of God's Word, the authority of one who cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. I got news for you. It's true. But not only do we have the authority of God's Word, we have the authority of those who were there. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:14, and this is John writing unto the early church, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. How did John know that? How did John have the authority to say that? Because John was there with him when it happened. John walked with him as he ministered in this world. John was there when he fed the thousands. John was there when he calmed the storms. John was there when he raised the dead. John was there when he healed the broken bodies. But most of all, John was there when they crucified him on that old rugged cross. And the Savior looked upon him and said, "Behold your mother, take my mother and make her as your own and look after her." And he's seen as the earth quaked and as the sky darkened and as the Roman centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Everything that happened, he was witness to. And praise God, on that first Easter morning, he was there as he and Peter raced to the tomb to find out that the Savior had risen. He said, "I'm going to give you a first-hand account." Amen. He said, "I'm telling you what I seen. I'm telling you what I experienced." Luke, as he begins the book of Luke, Dr. Luke, a learned man, says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Now, there's many have already recorded it. Amen. "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, Now, do you realize what he's saying? They were there all along. And they've recorded what they seen. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and all the rest of them. They've recorded it. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theopolis, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." John says, "I was there from the beginning and I seen it." Luke says, "Many have recorded it and we believed it." He said, "But I wanted to go a step further. I investigated this fully, being there myself from the beginning, and I want it recorded." Amen. I'm glad we have the assurance. I'm glad we have the confidence that somewhere in a stable in a little town of Bethlehem, the Savior of the world was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. The shepherds went to see it, and when they had found it, as the angels had told them that it would be, they began to tell everybody, amen, what had happened. They began to tell everybody, I believe when they left Bethlehem that night, everybody they seen, they might even knocked on some doors. Amen. They might have been the first door knocking Christians that came along. Amen. "Hey, you know what happened? The angels told us the Savior was born. We would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And guess what? We found him." Guess what? It's true. Guess what? It really happened. Guess what? The heavens filled with the angels proclaiming the glory of God and the birth of the Savior. He's here. Amen. The Bible tells us of the record of John the Apostle. The Bible tells us of the record of Dr. Luke. He wasn't an apostle. But praise God, he was right there with them. He followed them. He traveled with the Apostle Paul. He went back to search all those things. We have the record of Paul himself. Paul records meeting him as one born out of due time in 1 Corinthians 15 and 8. Paul met him on the road to Damascus. And Paul testified to the fact that it was true. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us of a great cloud of witnesses that all point to or tell us of the resurrection of the Savior, the reality of salvation by faith through grace in the Son of God, which was born at first Christmas. Amen. You say, well, those are just stories. Those are just things that were believed by people who are extremists. Let me ask you something. Would you have been willing to lay down your life and put your life on the line for some cunningly devised fables? Amen. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly for the gospel of Christ. His whole earthly ministry was a ministry of suffering. I think he said three times he received 39 lashes. And that's not a spanking. That's a beating that many didn't survive. Three times he was beaten with rods. Amen. He was shipwrecked at sea. He was in prison. He suffered. He suffered and he suffered. He was stoned and left for dead. Is these the writings of a deranged individual that got carried away on some fanatic or some fanatical ideology? I don't think so. John, the Revelator, was boiled alive in oil and then banished. Do you know what boiling does to your body, to your internal organs? When you survive, it destroys. It's just like being electrocuted. We have guys sadly at work that get electrocuted sometimes. The last one that got electrocuted, got on top of a machine, he shouldn't have been there. And he grabbed a hold of a pantograph that was riding the wire. And it cooks you from the inside out. And they don't die immediately unless they get a really, really bad dose of it. Most of the time, they die several days later in the hospital, because their organs have been destroyed internally. That's what boiling in oil does. It overheats your body. It destroys you. Not only your external skin, but it destroys you from the inside out. And then they don't have the decency to just let you die and slip on out into the glory world. They just bring you to the brink of death. And then drop you off somewhere. The Isle of Patmos, by the way, wasn't this little Greek island that everybody goes to visit today, a sightseeing stop as you're visiting the Greek islands. It was a labor camp, a labor place where they worked you till you died. But John recorded the reality of the gospel. He said, I've seen it and I do testify of it. I don't know when some of our forerunners and some of our Baptist forefathers were saved. But I know the suffering that many of them suffered at the hands of the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church as they were burned at the stake. They were beaten. They were drowned. They were hanged in cages to starve to death. All manner of cruel devices that had been devised to kill these individuals because they stood on the gospel truth and the gospel message. Do you think that these suffered for fables and stories for Santa Claus and elves at Christmas time. They suffered for the joy that was set before them. Amen. It goes beyond the suffering of this world. It goes on to the hope of the glory world. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know what happened when I got saved.
Right.
Amen. That song says, them kids sing that song, I was there when it happened. So I really ought to know. What a transformation. What a change was brought about by the Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus. The birth of Jesus literally means Savior. The Christ child, we talk about Christ, literally means in the Hebrew the Messiah. In the Greek, the Anointed One. Christ, the Anointed One. The Deliverer. The hope. The peace. The joy of my life. Amen. Though I may lose everything, though everybody else may turn their back on me, I still have the joy of knowing Jesus is my Savior. Though I may have to go the way that the Apostle Paul has gone and they may lock me away. When Paul wrote most of the things that he wrote them from prison. Most of the New Testament was written by Paul, and most of that was written from prison as he is waiting his execution. And when the time come, I believe he penned these words with joy in my heart, because he told the Philippians, he said, I'd rather go to heaven, but it's needful for me to be here for you. He said, I'd much rather be in the glory world, but God has deemed it necessary for me to be here with you. And as Paul penned down his last words, as he wrote his final epistle to young Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. He wasn't regretting it. He wasn't dying, for he knew that he had eternal life. And I've been reiterating this a lot lately. It's just something I think is so real that we need to grasp. We get too attached to this tabernacle, this temple in which we dwell. We think that we're a body with a soul. And we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. The reality is we are an eternal being, an eternal soul that dwells within a body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's that tell me about this body? It's just borrowed. It's just temporary. It's not all there is, and it's not finality. And the truth about death is we have a hope that brings joy to our life that is greater than the reality of what physical death brings to us, because there's a Savior that has come into the world to save sinners from their sins. And that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. As Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of invitation this morning.